Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Turn back to Genesis. Yeah. Chapter 2. Just to explain a bit more on the concept of Sabbath. Yeah. We know that the Sabbath was instituted even before Moses was born. Right. So this is one of the institutions. Okay. Now, like what we said before, the Sabbath day is the blessed day of the Lord. God gave blessing on this day. So we must, and all of us actually should, observe the Sabbath. Right? And in fact, we must do our level best and try not to give excuses for not observing the Sabbath. And obviously, we understand nowadays there are members who have to work on the Sabbath because they are employed. I think there's the questions, right? Obviously, we explain to them, and we encourage them to pray to God and to look for a job that does not require them to work on the Sabbath. Okay. So we have to have faith in God to observe the Sabbath wholeheartedly. Yeah. If you have faith in God, then obviously God will bless you. Okay? Now, I want you to read to understand the law actually refers to the commandments according to the book of Romans. Yeah. Now, the commandments of God have not been abolished. Right? The Ten Commandments in particular have not been abolished. Okay, I want you to read Matthew. See what Jesus said. We look at verse 19, chapter 19. Chapter 19. Sorry, I spread to you already. Chapter 19. Next to read verse 17.
So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments."
Okay, here is the conversation between Jesus and the rich young ruler, and Jesus told him that for him to enter life, there is a condition that he must fulfill, and that is keeping the commandments of God. So, quite clearly, for us to enter into eternal life, the commandments of God must be kept, and the Sabbath commandment is one of the Ten Commandments, right? Now, we need to understand that there is no exception to the rules, because the Word of God is not given to change. Again, I said I'm not trying to judge anyone. All right? I think it's completely wrong by not telling the church the right way to keep the commandments of God. Right? It's just because there has been history where people don't have not been keeping the commandments. What is past is past. Now we move on. Obviously, we ask for the forgiveness of God. And from now on, we must keep the commandments wholeheartedly. Because you are a younger generation, a new generation. All right? Okay, please, don't go back and start cursing your father and mother. Please don't do that. All right? Is that clear? Yeah? Right, now, look at 1 Corinthians. See what the apostle says. Yeah. Chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We read verse 19. Next to read, Caleb.
Circumcision is nothing.
This is what Paul said to the church at Corinth. Right, because you know, in those days they have this issue over circumcision, and Paul said to them, whether you are circumcised or not is not very important. Yeah, what matters most is the keeping of the commandments of God. Okay, now obviously the commandments here includes the Sabbath observance. Yeah. Okay, we move on. Two more verses. First John. We read First John chapter 2. Verse 3 and verse 4. Next we read. Here we can see the seriousness of not keeping the commandments of God. Yeah, not only we become a liar, actually the truth of God is not in us. Okay, so no matter how difficult it is, we must do our best by the grace of God to keep the commandments of God. Alright. You find that this has been the trend in the scriptures. This is the message, right? This is a common message from Jesus, from the apostle. And even you find that the message, the same message has been preached to the Gentiles churches as well. Right? That's why we all need to keep the commandments of God. Is that clear? Right, now, coming back to the issue on Sabbath, yeah, how do we know that Saturday today? Okay, now, the counting of the day is from sunset to sunset, yeah? 6 to 6, okay, sunset to sunset. Okay, now the question is, how do we know that Saturday is the seventh day? Anyone? Yes. How do you know? Ask Johnny. Okay. How do you know first day is Sunday? I think the quotation that mentioned by her is correct, but how do you explain the first day is Sunday? Anyone? How do you know? And we all know that Jesus rose on which day? Which day was Jesus raised from the dead? Okay, we read a verse here. We turn to Mark. Chapter... chapter 16. We read verse 9. So the Bible says that Jesus rose on the first day of the week, and I think all the Christians in the world believe that Jesus rose the first day. Right? There's no question about that. Now, Because some people say that Sunday is the Sabbath, yeah? Now, like what has been quoted by Kirsty. Want you to read Matthew. Okay, Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. We read verse 1. Now, quite clearly, there are 2 days mentioned here. One is the Sabbath, and the second is the first day of the week. This is how you explain, yeah? Based on the Bible. Okay. Now, because many Christian denominations believe that the first day is the Sabbath. Okay. Now, judging from Matthew, you find that, yeah, in verse 1, chapter 28, verse 1, it mentioned what? The Sabbath. After the Sabbath has passed, then it, what? Came the first day. Right? 2 days here are mentioned. So, by looking at this verse itself, we know very well that, okay, clearly it tells us the Sabbath is not on the first day. You understand what I'm saying? Because after the Sabbath have gone, then it came what? The first day. You understand what I'm saying? So the Sabbath is never on the first day. Now, the day before this first day is what? Seven. Right? Now, every Christian believed that Christ rose on Sunday. Now, according to Mark chapter 16, verse 9, it is the first day. You understand what I'm saying now? Maybe I don't know how to explain myself very well. Sorry about that. One more time. Okay, read Mark again. Look at Mark. Chapter 16. Read 16 again. Okay, now when he rose early on the first day, telling us that Jesus Christ rose on the first day. Is that correct? Yeah? Okay. Now, every Christian knows that. You can check the encyclopedia or whatever. You know that the first day actually is Sunday. Who believes Christ rose on Sunday? Right? Now, the day before Sunday is which day? In our context, is which day? Saturday. Right? Now, according to the Bible, the day before the first day is the Sabbath. Therefore, Sabbath falls on Saturday. Are you kidding me? Or you are confused? I say the same thing every year, even to your class as well. This class is still okay. It's not a truth-seeking class. You know the third year and fourth year? They are truth-seekers. Yes?
You know how you said that we base the Sabbath to be Saturday because the first day is Sunday? Yeah. What if everyone's wrong and the first day is actually like Tuesday or something like that?
No, it cannot be. That's hypothesis, la. We don't assume. Okay? Now, everyone believes that, in fact, you know, like what I say, you can look up on the dictionary or encyclopedia. They will tell you that. So, you understand what I'm saying? So, okay, we look at Mark as well. Turn back to Mark chapter 16. Next to read verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 and verse 2. Next to read. Verse 2.
Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had gone
down. Okay, again, two separate days, yeah, we mentioned. First is the Sabbath. After the Sabbath was passed. Okay. The Sabbath gone. Sabbath, yeah? Here, past. And then it came what? The first day, right? Two separate days. So first day is never the Sabbath. Very clear. There's no argument based on the Bible. Right? Okay, one more passage. Yeah? We turn to Luke. Chapter 23. Chapter 23, we read verse 56. And then we also read chapter 24, verse 1. All right, next to read. 23, 56. Chapter 24, verse 1. Okay. Now, I think here is even clearer mentioned. Yeah. And they rested on the Sabbath, according to the commandments, right? And then 24, it says, on the first day. So the Sabbath day here is the Sabbath according to the commandments. Again, two separate days are mentioned. Two separate days. It's quite clear. The Sabbath, yeah, the Sabbath day never falls on the first day. Never. Right? Is that clear? Now, here's the first institution mentioned in the book of Genesis, and actually is pre-Mosaic, meaning it's before Moses was born, and later on it was incorporated into one of the Ten Commandments. Okay, now we come back to chapter 2. Right, now we look at from verse 8 onwards. Yeah, obviously, after the Garden of Eden was planted, again, we further see that God's actually loved man so much. By what? By instituting marriage. Okay, and that is the great love of God. Right, that's why when you look at chapter 1, chapter 2, you can see the immense immensity of God's love towards His creation. Right? Okay. Now, I think most of you, and most of you are still very young, so maybe I'm going to skip that. What's so funny? You want... Shall I skip that part of the scriptures about marriage?
No.
No, you. You know, in the UK, okay, some of our brothers and sisters from overseas, they don't know about this. Before a couple get married, they need to attend, counseling. Eh? Some classes can run for 6 hours. It depends on the preachers. But for me, it's shortcut, 2 hours. Very happy. I said, come to my house, I'll get my wife sit beside me, and they'll eat and talk after that finish. Bye bye.
Free meal.
I'll charge you for that. No, okay. Right? So, it depends on you. If you want to get me, then 2 hours. You get them 6 hours, more detail. So, I did a whole bunch of stuff. I was saying, read up yourself, bro. Finish. Okay. All right. Come back. Chapter 2. Matthew, you've gone through the 6 hours already. No, not yet. Not ready. Okay. Verse 8 onwards. Yeah? Now, here it talks about God planted a Garden of Eden. The garden eastward in Eden, and he put the man whom he had formed. Right. Now, if you look at this description given from verse 8 onwards, we know that from young I was born into the church. I was told the Garden of Eden represents the church or prefigures the church. Now, my question is, how does it prefigure the church? Do you believe that the Garden of Eden prefigure the church? How does it prefigure the church? Okay, because it's from the east, but like UK is in the north. You know, I raised this question basically to help you think about certain issues very carefully. Yeah? Okay? Class. Even though it's quite jokey in a way. But you know, there are certain issues in the church. Yeah? We need to reconfirm, okay, to make sure that whatever we believe now is based on the Bible. Okay? Now, for example, we talk about the one true church. Yeah? Just give you an idea. Now, how many of you truly believe that there's only one church to save? Well, you don't have to raise your hand. How many of you don't believe? You don't believe that there's... I know you don't. I know you don't. That guy, he doesn't. Okay? I know. Last year he spoke to me. Anyway, joking. Okay. Now, if you say there's only one church, yeah, on what basis do you say that there's only one church that saves? Right? That's why I feel that now is the time for us to ascertain our belief, right? To confirm our belief with the support from the scriptures, right? Today I believe in the one true church, not because I have been told by my grandfather, no. Right? I believe in the one true church because I have found the answer in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. If we said the Garden of Eden prefigures the church. Now, on what basis do you say that? Anyone? Bill, hang on. Oh, I told you in CYC. No. No Christian cannot answer. Okay. Noah. You know Noah's Ark? How do you know that this is the church? No, because two weeks ago, you know, I was in the YCC. I was assigned to talk about one true church, and he was there. So he can answer. So you see, I'm teaching you what? Okay, never mind. On what basis do you say that the Garden of Eden prefigures the church? I don't know. Yes. Yeah? There is only one. Okay. One Garden of Eden. Okay. One. There is only one. Okay, what else? Perfect. Okay. In terms of God and man relationship. Okay. Okay, what else?
by God.
It was. The moon was also made by God. The moon was. Not the answer. What else?
Shelter.
Oh. But the snake came in. Okay. The other one is command is given. There's a command put in place. Yeah. Okay. What else? Man, yeah, he's mentioned. God and man relationship, perfect, yeah. Okay, what else? Yeah, responsibility attached. Okay, what else? Can you read my handwriting?
No.
You cannot read. I thought my handwriting is quite good. You know, sometimes when I don't know how to spell the word, I just scribble, so no one knows. This is what the doctors do. Is that also because they can't spell the name of the one medication or whatever. Spell it. Okay. Right? Is it clear? Yeah. Right. Come back. Now, if you look at the church, yeah, look at the church. There's only one. That's a very good point. And within the church, we can see the relationship between man and God. And this relationship obviously is given by God. In our context today, because we have been redeemed from this world of sin. That's why this relationship is given. And within the church, you can see the command of God given. Right? And within the church, we have responsibility. And God demands what? Accountability. Okay? So, class, my point is this. Hang on. My point is this. You know, when you are taught a certain issues, like prefigurations or like, you know, doctrine, you need to make sense of it. You get what I'm saying? You know, once you have understood it, it become part of your belief. It become very dear to you. You will not change. Because it's in the Bible. Yeah? Is it clear? Okay.
Just that,
Yes. We leave excommunication out for the time being, okay. What you're saying is true. Okay. So actually you find that God is a merciful God. You know, from his creation we can see his mercy. And at the same time, you find that he is also a righteous God. He does not tolerate violation against his commandment. You understand what I'm saying? But that's why we cannot pretend and say, oh, it's okay, we break the commandments, no problem. No. Right? We can be, you know, we can be in danger of being cast out from the church. Cast out from the presence of God. Right? Right, these are the main points, yeah? Now, you know, in this section, I think there's a question that people normally ask, yeah? Do you believe that the planet Earth is million and million years old? How do you reconcile the fact if the planet Earth was created within the 6 days, yeah? And the history of humanity is only about how many? 6,000 plus? Yeah. How do you believe that the planet Earth is million and million years old? You don't believe? How do you reconcile that?
When God created Adam and Eve, he created a mature adult.
Yes.
Even though they were 0 years old, more mature, so God would have created a mature planet. Even though it looks like as it was thought, it wouldn't be that old.
But what he's saying, yeah, God has created Adam, a man who is capable of becoming a father. You understand what I'm saying? A mature person. Right? Oh, I think the same principle applies here. Okay? There's a star out there outside the solar system, a million and million light years away. Yeah? Now for the light to travel, it takes million and million of years. Yeah? And we cannot deny that this is what scientific facts, right? And I won't say all of them. I think most of them are accurate. But how do we reconcile the two? That's our concern, okay? We use that principle, right? So when God created, let's say, these two planets here, the star here and the planet Earth here, okay? When he created the star, he also created it in such a way that the light, you know, reach the Earth at the same time. When this star, you know, came into existence, and its lights also reached the planet Earth at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now I want you to read a verse, yeah? Chapter 2. Turn to chapter 2. Okay, we read... where is it? Where's the verse on the gold stuff like that? Verse 11, yeah? Okay. Right, now the name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. Now, you know, some people say that for what? For gold to be developed, it takes many, many years. Am I? Yeah? So you find that God has created the planet Earth in such a way that the planet Earth actually is a mature planet Earth. Yeah? With a lot of what gold or whatever, you know, precious stone in it, a mature world. Just like he created Adam, a mature person, yeah, capable of becoming a father. Just like he has created Eve, yeah, from the side of Adam, to be a mother. You understand what I'm saying? Right? This is how we answer the questions. Okay. Now, I want you to look at verse 16, okay? Verse 16, yeah? Now, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the days that you eat of it you shall surely die. Now, you find that God, you know, told Adam and Eve very clearly, okay? This is the tree that, you know, its fruit you cannot eat. God did not say anything else more than that. Nothing. He just said, you cannot eat. Now, you know, our attitude should be that, okay? God has kept it away from us. Right? Whatever reason, we do not know, but we must not eat. Right? Now, so on our part, our duty is to what? Is to obey God. Now, you know that there's sin against God, yeah? If you look at what? Romans, and see what Romans say about this. Okay? You find that Paul, when he mentioned about this, he actually put the responsibility squarely on the shoulders of humanity. Right? He did not blame Satan, blame the snake or whatever. He says, it's you, Adam. Okay, now we turn to Romans chapter 6. Chapter 5. Yeah, 5. Chapter chapter 5, we read verse 19. Yeah? Now, look at the comments here given by Paul. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Okay? Now, the emphasis here is on what? Adam being disobedient to God. Right? No other reason given. Disobedience. You get what I'm saying? Right? That's why I said when we read the Bible, we must not and we should not stretch our imagination too much. Yeah? And try to what? Try to stretch it into the unknown. No, don't do that. Alright? That is not acceptable. Because when we talk about the Word of God, sometimes we have to accept it by faith. This way faith comes into play. If we can understand everything, even things that are not recorded in the Bible, then we are just like God. We know that is not possible. Right? This is where faith comes in. Right? You believe, we believe in the Word of God. Yeah? Is that clear? Right? Very important concept to remember. Right? Okay, it's about time. So, thank you for listening. Even though I cough so often, okay, never mind. We pray.